Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Michael Lipton, a senior partner with the Toronto office of Dickinson Wright, on the legalization of sports betting in Canada and how it is being implemented across the country. This week's podcast is sponsored by IGT, with its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link, which is a hit and performing it over three times versus house, according to Eilers June report. Learn more at igt.com/prosperity. Sports betting was legalized in Canada about 6 months ago and was recently launched in the country's largest province, Ontario. Michael Lipton is one of Canada's leading gaming attorneys, where he's a senior partner in the Toronto office of Dickinson Wright. He explains how the legalization process went and how it will be implemented in the different provinces of Canada. In Ontario, dozens of sports betting sites and technology providers have already been licensed, but there are still a few areas where it's uncertain what is legal and what is not, or how it will be implemented. He spoke with me from his home in Ontario in June. With a baby in her hand. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Michael Lipton. Michael is an attorney with Dickinson Wright in Toronto. Michael, thanks for joining us today. I emailed you a couple of weeks ago with a simple question, and it turned into a lot more, so I figured we should do a podcast.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Roger. Everything is well. I would agree with everything that you've said so far, other than the fact that some of these questions are not simple.
No.
But I'm going to try to address all of them.
Great. So let's start with the single event sports betting, which was legalized in Canada almost a year ago now. So what has the response of the various provinces been to this legalization?
Well, I think that all of the provinces have endorsed the change in the law. It's about time. And COVID has held them back somewhat in the actual implementation of it, because during COVID, the land-based casinos have not been open. Or if they have, it's a very, very limited attendance. But certainly in some of the jurisdictions, retail sports betting is available at the land-based casinos. And insofar as internet gaming is concerned, those jurisdictions that offer internet sports betting have embraced the opportunity to be in a position to have single game sports bets. It effectively allows the Canadian entities, in particular the Canadian lottery corporations, to establish itself on a level playing field with the offshore racing sports books, which for years have been offering single game sports bets.
Sure. So what does this mean to the entire gaming market in Canada?
Well, going forward, once we're out of the COVID era, I think that sports betting from a retail perspective that will certainly attract a lot of people to the land-based casinos, much like the case is in Atlantic City, New Jersey, as well as in Nevada. And obviously it's going to bring more people to the casinos. It's going to increase business and the like. From an internet gaming perspective, I think more and more people are participating, especially in Ontario that recently started to regulate the internet gaming market. And so you're going to have more offshore entities coming into Ontario, getting licensed, becoming regulated. And that's going to, I think, help with respect to protection of the public, protecting the vulnerable, and certainly increasing revenue from the perspective of adding more monies to the government coffers, as well as to operators that are licensed to do this.
Okay, so there's a lot of entities in Canada that are involved in gaming in one way or the other. Obviously, the gaming companies, the lottery organizations, charitable gaming, and the First Nations as well. How do they all play together in the sandbox here?
Well, let's leave out Ontario for the time being, but in all the other provinces and territories, all of the gaming effectively is conducted and managed by an agent of the provincial government. They are the operating mind, so to speak. And each one of them could, if they wanted to, have an operator, one operator, or maybe two operators, assist them in relation to implementing the iGaming and the land-based gaming matter. So they certainly gain from the perspective of now being able to offer a single game sports bets. In Saskatchewan, the gaming effectively is carried out by the Saskatchewan Indian Gaming Authority that is subject to the conduct and management of the provincial government in Saskatchewan, so they certainly gain. In Alberta, their model is that of charitable gaming. So the entity that is responsible for the conduct and management in Alberta casinos are various charities, and so that they certainly gain. I've mentioned First Nations with respect to Saskatchewan. There are other First Nations that are offering internet gaming in this country, in particular the Ganawaki Mohawks that are located just outside of Montreal. And they're in a position where they're offering their internet gaming. They have been offering it for some time, right, in relation to single game sports bets. So I think that there's a number of entities that are really the beneficiary of all of this, insofar as their legal foundation and what have you, we can get into.
Sure. Well, let's talk about the Kahnawakis for a second here. I mean, as you mentioned, they've been involved in online gaming for many years now. Unfortunately, they were also involved in the Ultimate Poker scandal as a regulatory body there. So if you're a company looking to get into Canada, can you go to the Kahnawakis and get a license from them and be able to conduct gaming all over the country?
Well, you can certainly apply for and receive a license from the Ganawakis. They have been operating very openly and transparently since the late 1990s, and they've been doing a very good job from a regulatory perspective. Insofar as being able to conduct and manage land-based casinos, and they do have some on their reservation, mm-hmm. I think a very strong argument could be made to say that what they're doing is legal based upon their integral rights of self-government under Section 35 of the Constitution. Insofar as internet gaming in the rest of Canada, I have some concerns about that, because effectively just being able to get licensed in Ganawaki doesn't necessarily mean that you can legally carry on internet gaming operations in other parts of Canada, or for that matter, anywhere else in the world. So I've got some concerns about the legal foundation of that aspect. Effectively, what I'm saying is having a license from the Ganawaki Gaming Commission is no different than, say, getting a license from Malta or Gibraltar. None of those licenses mean that you're entitled to carry on legally in any jurisdiction.
Right.
You have the principle of what is known as comity, of respecting the laws of the particular jurisdiction. So I've got some concerns about that. And often I advise clients about that and certainly tell them what the underlying risks are. But having said all of that, the Ganawakis do a good job with respect to regulations.
Okay, great. So, obviously, licensing issues are always crucial to the process here. How strict is the regulatory oversight in the provinces? Or is it the same, and is it the same for the system providers as it is for the operators?
When you say system providers, I assume what you're talking about are the B2Bs as opposed, yes, to the operators that are the B2Cs. And the answer is generally yes. Some jurisdictions, some provincial jurisdictions, take a much more deep dive than say others, but generally speaking, on the first go around, they're essentially the same. And as I mentioned, the breadth, the depth, and the scope of various regulatory jurisdictions in Canada are somewhat different. For example, in Alberta, they have followed a practice of asking for disclosure for just about anything and everyone. Whereas in, say, British Columbia and Ontario, they look at it from the risk-based perspective, and they limit their type of disclosure based upon the nature and scope of the risk, as well as are there any decision makers that are involved? Because if there are entities that are not decision makers, then they ask themselves, what risk will that pose? And if it doesn't pose a very great risk, they'll say under those circumstances, they would waive disclosure. Okay. Jurisdictions like Alberta would not necessarily do that.
Okay, great. The cat's out of the bag. IGT's newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link, is a hit and performing at over triple versus house, according to Eilers' June report. Both partner themes feature the player favorite lock and respin bonus and the exciting free games bonus with either scatter or multiplier wilds. Prosperity Link will drive players to your floor with its popular game mechanics. Grab this exciting game while it's hot. Learn more at igt.com/prosperity. So let's talk about Ontario. I think Ontario has made the biggest splash in the sports betting market for sure. But I'm still a little bit confused about how it rolled out. And there were some of the bigger operators were not part of the original rollout. And I know some of them have come on since then. But it was a little confusing to me how it rolled out.
April the 4th was the launch date. On that particular date, I think they had about 8 to 10 operators that launched. They needed that many in order to create scale. Those operators included entities such as Entain in respect to Party and BWIN.
Right.
There was also 888. There was Bet365. There was a number of other local operators as well. The Mohicans in relation to the Niagara Casino were also involved. Entities were able to get licensed as operators. Other entities were able to get licensed, say, as gaming suppliers. Those entities would, say, include companies like Canby. So you've got a good quality of licensees in relation to that matter. Currently, there are, I think, approximately 18 licensees. And I think there's about another 60 or so in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
They're rolling out. It's being done, I think, on a very clear basis. So far, there have been no major hiccups or any obstacles or problems.
Okay. And you mentioned that Ontario is also regulating iGaming.
Yeah, well, the actual April 4th was the date for the launch of the internet gaming. That's a situation where, after many years, Ontario determined that the government entity, Ontario was called the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation,
mm-hmm.
Did not necessarily have to be the only entity that offered the iGaming. Other private operators could do so, but they would do so in conjunction with the other government entity known as Internet Gaming Ontario. Internet Gaming Ontario would be the operating or the guiding mind, operating mind, and the operators would provide the operations. And so it's grown to the point where it now is a new regime where you've got the government as the operating mind, but you've got a number of different operators providing those particular services. So it's tantamount to a tax and licensure type of regime, which is quite similar to, say, what you see in the United Kingdom or other jurisdictions, except in Canada, you have the very heavy hand of the government being the operating mind in respect to these gaming sites.
Okay, great. So in the U.S., sports betting is limited to the individual states. They can't share information across state lines, and that's because of the Wire Act. There is no Wire Act in Canada. Will you be able to bet, for example, on a site based in British Columbia if you live in Ontario?
There is no Wire Act in Canada, but there are prohibitions. There are provisions in the criminal code that allow one province to agree with another province to allow, shall we say, the sharing of liquidity between those provinces. There are actual examples of that occurring. For example, in relation to the Canadian Poker Network, the liquidity is shared between BC, Manitoba, and Quebec. With respect to sports betting, the sharing has not occurred to date,
mm-hmm.
but it may. But certainly, it only arises in circumstances where two or more provinces enter into an agreement. And if they do, then you can have somebody in Ontario putting a bet through a BC book and vice versa. But I suspect that that won't occur just yet. I think that they'll focus more in terms of gaming as opposed to sports betting.
Okay. So you mentioned British Columbia. They've had been online gaming for quite some time. Did they have an advantage when it came to sports betting legalization?
I don't think that they did have an advantage. They may have been one of the first to jump in, but again, their sports betting was only limited to British Columbia residents, and no one else from outside of Canada could participate in that area. The Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation quickly joined them. And now that the new regime as of April the 4th has been implemented, there are many, many sports betting operators that are licensed in Ontario that are up to par and are able to offer their services. And I think the nature and quality and the extent of the services that they offer are quite similar to what you would see in other jurisdictions in the world, including British Columbia.
Okay, great. So up until now, the Canadian government has not been very forceful in trying to keep out the illegal sites from participating in online gaming. Is this more of a provincial issue than it is for the federal issue?
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. The federal government is responsible for the criminal law in Canada. It's the same law across Canada, but the enforcement is really carried out by the provincial governments. And in respect to keeping illegal sites from participating in the Canadian market, it's really up to the provincial attorneys general to do that. And up till now, they have shown a great deal of tolerance in relation to that particular matter, in the sense that there's never been a prosecution of an offshore internet gaming operator. There's only really been two prosecutions of operators, internet gaming operators in Canada, both of which were located in Canada. And so you can appreciate that this tolerance has attracted a lot of offshore operators who look upon Canada, shall we say, as being somewhat of a gray market and the like. But I think with Ontario introducing its new regime 2 months ago in April, you're going to see some changes in respect to that enforcement policy.
Okay, great. So I know responsible gaming is a big issue in Canada and has been for many years. Was there some internet responsible gaming restrictions imposed in the bill that passed?
No, it was a I think a one-line bill,
yeah,
that just deleted a certain section of the criminal code. Again, the enforcement of the gambling prohibitions and the restrictions is on a province by province basis. Each province has its own responsible gaming requirements. For example, under the new Ontario regime, they certainly require operators to take steps to protect those that are vulnerable. There's ways and means that they seek to do that. After a period of 2 years, the operators have to get a certificate from a responsible gaming entity to reflect that their operations with respect to RG meet the required standards. So I think our governments are very mindful of what is required in relation to responsible gaming, and I would place them on a high level in relation to the steps that they follow in relation to respecting issues concerning responsible gaming.
Okay, great. So I just want to ask a couple more questions away from sports betting and responsible gaming and iGaming. The Canadian gaming industry took a huge hit during the pandemic. You know, some of the casinos in the provinces were closed for more than a year. How are they recovering now that things are more opening up?
Slowly. We've only recently lifted the mask mandate. You might be interested to know that I think that you can travel to Canada without having any vaccination, but you could certainly be asked to undergo a test when you get here. Mm-hmm. So I think the casinos are slowly coming back. They're starting to open. I think all of them are open. But of course, the question is, are they safe inside? I think that they're taking steps to try to protect the players who frequent there. I believe that after a matter of time, and it's difficult to say, assuming that there's no fifth or sixth or seventh wave for COVID, you'll see our casinos come back strong. And I'm referring to companies such as Gateway and Great Canadian.
Sure.
That will demonstrate they've got a pretty good franchise here. But it's going to take some time.
Have we seen, in the U.S., when the casinos reopened, the revenue boomed right after they reopened. Has that been the case in Canada?
Too early to tell. We haven't seen any numbers, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We've only really reopened matters in relation to public types of operations. You know, at one time, if you went to the hockey game, while the hockey arena may hold 20,000 people,
right,
only 8,000 or 10,000 could get in.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to a baseball game, instead of being 45,000 people, only 15,000. So that's recently been lifted a number of months ago. And I think that people are going to be going back to the casinos. The interesting question, of course, is going to be, say, in Ontario, now that we have many, many different operators offering internet gaming services, sports betting, esports, gaming, casino-style gaming, is that going to cut into the Ontario land-based casino operations? So we'll see what happens in that particular regard.
Great. Do you envision consolidation amongst the sports betting market as things move forward?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got a population in Ontario of 14 million. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are right. betting from that point of view. There's going to be many, many different sports betting operators. Indeed, the television advertisements in that particular regard are quite legion.
Yeah.
So I think that there's going to be a shakeout. I think that there's going to be a consolidation. I think there's going to be a lot of people that will drop out. But that's the nature of the market.
That's true.
And I think that's going to be good for the public. And it's going to be good for those winners, not necessarily for the losers. But that's what I think is going to happen.
Great. Well, Michael Lipton, thanks for joining us. It's great to talk to you as one of the leading gaming attorneys in Canada. I knew you'd have all the answers. So thanks for taking the time.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Roger. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And thanks for the compliment.
Great. We'll talk to you soon. Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT and its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link. It's a hit and performing at over 3 times versus house according to Eilers June report. Discover more at igt.com/prosperity. To understand more about sports betting in Canada and around the world, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.